Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, today we're going to discuss the whole Richie Incognito saga that's been unfolding lately. Nate's got a surprise for me with a Twitter rumor that he saw. We're going to discuss that. And then we're also going to discuss some of the Bills' pre-draft visits and what that might mean for the draft coming up here in a week and a half. And then we'll go through Mock Draft 5.0, where I think we'll go through four rounds this time. How's that sound, Nate?
Yeah, four rounds sounds pretty good. We're a little less than 2 weeks from the draft now. So we want to start getting a little bit deeper into these mocks as we get closer to the real thing.
Yeah, so, Nate, I'm sure you've been following the Richie Incognito story as much as I have. You know, it came out last week sometime that he was kind of mulling retirement, and then, you know, there's been some interesting tweets from Richie Incognito's account. He kind of seems a little volatile. I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Yeah, so first he fired his agents on Twitter. I think that was about 10 or 12 days ago, where he tweeted, at athletes first, you're fired. And then a few days after that, he retired, or he informed the Bills he was retiring, again, over Twitter. And now he is asking the Bills to release him from his contract and saying to contact athletes first for further updates, the same agents that he fired 10, 12 days ago.
Yeah, so when I saw the latest one, I honestly thought his account was hacked. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all. The Bills did replace him on the retired reserve list, so I'm not really sure what's going on with Richie. I mean, he's always been kind of a bit of a loose cannon. You know, there's that fiasco down in Miami before he came to Buffalo. Buffalo gave him a second chance, and, you know, he's seemed to calm down a little bit, but, you know, you really have to be concerned for Richie Incognito's mental health given what we've seen over the last week. It's just been really bizarre.
Yeah, and anytime a professional football player, especially a veteran like Richie Incognito, shows any kind of signs of that his mental health could be off, you always have to at least consider the CTE and or the preludes to CTE, especially after we found that Aaron Hernandez had one of the worst cases that they've ever seen. He was only 27 or 28 years old. So it's at least something I think we have to consider at this point.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you that, you know, what we're watching on Sundays has consequences for the guys that are playing the game. You know, it's more than just a game for them. This is, you know, their physical and mental well-being. And I know a lot of people will say, well, give me millions of dollars and I'll take concussions and broken bones. But I don't know, you have to feel empathetic for someone going through that kind of physical and, you know, apparently, we don't want to speculate too much, but some sort of, you know, mental issue going on there.
Yeah, and all I can say, I guess, is I hope that this gets resolved amicably, however it ends up going, because, tell the truth, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if Richie was in training camp in the fall. I think probably what happened is he was kind of upset that he actually signed that contract that cut his pay a little bit, and he can't really get out of his contract by retiring, which I think is part of the problem. That's just why he is saying, like, release me from my contract, he's going to unretire, because if he retires, he has to pay back a signing bonus or part of his signing bonus, which I'm assuming, given the fact that he's pissed about getting his pay cut, he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on things with how this unfolds. It certainly adds another wrinkle for the Bills when it comes to filling the gaps on the offensive line. You now have pretty much a hole starting at left guard all the way over to right tackle.
Yeah, it just adds another thing, another piece that the Bills are going to have to replace either in the draft or by trying to find someone in free agency to fill that hole. And having your entire new O-line isn't necessarily the greatest thing for a rookie quarterback, as we expect the Bills to draft one and potentially see them get some time this year. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, Nate, I'm honestly really concerned no matter who they draft, you know, assuming they draft a rookie quarterback. I don't know if I want to put that guy out there without, you know, spending a significant sum on the offensive line to improve it, you know, maybe next offseason, address it with a few draft picks. I mean, time will tell. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it definitely complicates what the Bills are trying to do for the next year or two.
Yeah, one thing I will say, though, is interior linemen tend to be a dime a dozen. You can probably fill those gaps with at least guys that are free agents or in the draft and have them be at least decent interior and not get killed too much. It's really the tackle positions that you can't do that with. So that's at least one glass half full kind of scenario.
Right. So now that we've gone through our thoughts on the Richie Incognito scandal, give me what you have on what you saw on Twitter recently.
So this is 2 days ago I saw this on Twitter, and it's a guy named Brian Zielkowski who tweeted that his district manager at work is a part-time NCAA D1 ref, and he refs Bills preseason games and training camp scrimmages and has some friends inside the organization, including Russ Brandon. And Russ Brandon told him, I want to pull up the exact tweet so I don't get it wrong in any way. But apparently Russ Brandon told this guy that the Bills have a deal in place that with the Browns and the Giants, so a three-way trade, that's going to move the Bills to number one overall. And the way this is going to work is the Bills are going to trade 12, 22, and some draft picks he did not specify, or other assets, I guess, to number one. And then the Browns are going to trade 22 and 4 to the Giants for number two. And the Bills are going to be at one and pick Sam Darnold.
That is a pretty wild scenario. I know, just talking off the pod recently, Nate, I thought that the Bills would probably have to work in a third team, or maybe just a second separate deal with a third team to move up into the top three picks there. So that's kind of an insane scenario that I didn't really consider. I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, maybe Indianapolis at six and either the Browns at four or the Giants at two and working out some sort of three-way deal there. But moving all the way up to number one, that seems crazy.
What I will say, though, is it's not the proposal itself is not, I don't think, too crazy. I think that depending on what the other assets are, but if they're not going to have to give up a ton more to do that, like, they're going to make everyone happy in this scenario, and if they can do 12, 22 in like a couple seconds to do this, or a couple seconds and a third to do this, it's not crazy to think they would do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have to give up a fortune, it certainly makes sense. I'm not as high on Sam Darnold as everyone else, but, I mean, the best way to do the GM job in the NFL is fearlessly, and if Brandon Bean thinks that's his guy, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah, and Darnold is a guy that if you want him, you're going to have to either get him at one or two. He's not going to last beyond those picks. And so if the Bills are really that high on him, it makes sense that they'd want to get to one so they can guarantee they get their guy. Because getting to two doesn't guarantee you Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and we've seen that with our mocks on firstpick.com that, you know, he doesn't really make it past the Browns or the Giants there. And, you know, it's definitely an interesting scenario. I'm not sure how much, you know, truth there is to that rumor, but it certainly makes things pretty lively going the next week and a half into the draft.
Yeah, so one thing I will say is I trust that this guy, the district manager, whoever it is, has real inside connections, because this Brian Zielkowski guy posted a picture on Twitter of the 2016-17 Buffalo Sabres training camp book that was given to only players and coaches, and Russ Brandon gave one to this guy, and it has players' cell phone numbers and all their contact information in it. He didn't post any of that information on Twitter, but he posted proof that it exists and that he's seen it or he has it right now. So that lends me a little bit more to tend to think this is plausible.
So another thing I'm thinking, Nate, is we know how much of a tight ship Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have ran there. Maybe this is just another smokescreen.
That is quite possible, because he had to have known if he told this guy, he was going to tell someone else and was going to get out. So, it's plausible. Again, very, very, very plausible.
Right, and with everything that's gone on the last year, we haven't seen anything leak out of that building. And I'd be really surprised if Russ Brandon would do that, you know, behind those guys' backs. But, you know, stranger things have happened in Buffalo, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see in the next, probably the next 4 or 5 days. If there's an agreement in place, I'm sure it's going to happen well before draft night. So it'll be, I'm really looking forward to these next, a little bit less than 2 weeks till the draft year.
Yeah, and if that does happen, Nate, I think that calls for an emergency podcast from us.
For sure. If the Bills make any kind of trade before draft night, there will be a bonus pod. We'll have it up either the day or the day after they make the trade, depending on what time this trade is announced.
All right. So now away from the speculation and the rumors, and we'll go to what the Bills have confirmed for their pre-draft visits. They get 30 of them. So this is courtesy of BuffaloRumblings.com. And there's only 3 quarterbacks confirmed on the 30 pre-draft visitors. Now, last year, Buffalo only had 14 of those 30 visits announced. But so far, the reported visits for the Bills are Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and Mason Rudolph, who happens to be, you know, Nate and I's consensus top 3 quarterbacks. What do you think that tells you, Nate, if those are the only 3 names that they've reported?
It tells you that they are interested in these 3 quarterbacks and they want to learn more about them. It doesn't necessarily mean a ton in terms of which one they like the best, but I think it means they like these 3 guys, because you're obviously not going to go draft a guy that you haven't met with extensively and haven't learned as much as you possibly can about them before drafting them. One thing I will say on the quarterback end is the Bills did fly out to LA to interview and work out Sam Darnold, so I think you could add him to the list. I think there's 4 quarterbacks that it's known the Bills are interested in trying to learn about before draft day.
Yeah, and the only reported contact I've seen in the Bills and Josh Allen was the Senior Bowl, which was quite a long time ago. So unless the Bills are really trying to put up a smokescreen on them wanting Josh Allen really badly, I think good news for people that agree with us that they don't like Josh Allen as an NFL quarterback, that's probably good if the Bills aren't interested. And the only contact they've had with Lamar Jackson was an interview at the Combine.
Yeah, so I would think, just knowing the Bills and their management, they probably would lean more towards Josh Allen than Lamar Jackson from what they would like in a quarterback. But the fact that they haven't really had extensive contact with either one leads me to think they aren't really looking at those guys to draft next week.
Right. And this is just what's been reported. So they could have had those other 3 guys in the building, and it just wasn't reported. We wouldn't know. So with that, we'll move on to what else we have reported visits. They've got 2 running backs on here, Rashad Penny from San Diego State and Kalen Ballage of Arizona State. Did I pronounce that correctly, Nate?
You know, I'm not even sure, because to tell the truth, I'm not really familiar with either one of these guys. I haven't gotten the chance to watch either one of these guys on tape yet. I've been slowly going through positions of need that the Bills have and trying to watch as much as I can of guys. I just have not gotten to either one of these guys yet. So I know Rashad Penny put up huge stats in college. Used to see his name all over everything when he was there at San Diego State. But running backs position, I think that there are a lot of good running backs that come to the NFL every single year. You've seen over the years the guys off the street basically coming in and doing really well. And I think it's more of a function of the team, the offensive line you have, and the play calling and the scheme, rather than the running back, unless you have a really, really special player like the Bills currently have with Shady McCoy.
Yeah, so I have seen just a little bit of Rashad Penny tape. I think it was Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus put up a few clips of him and why he thinks he's one of the top running backs in the draft behind Saquon Barkley. And, you know, he certainly has some speed and elusiveness that reminds you a little bit of LeSean McCoy. I haven't watched enough of Rashad Penny to really get a full assessment of him, but, you know, I'd be pretty excited if they're able to add a guy like that in the mid rounds.
Yeah, I've watched a decent amount of running back tape the last few weeks, and there are a few guys that I really, really like. Darius Geese, I love, and Sony Michel from Georgia are two guys that I really, really like. Michel especially does some things really, really well, like reading the game, which is that's one of the reasons I like him, really like him a lot. He doesn't have some of the same athleticism or skill sets of that type as some of the other top running backs, but he just reads the game so, so well. He never misses a block. He picks up blitzes like it's nobody's business. Sometimes he sees the blitz coming before anyone else does. He'll like meet the linebacker at the line of scrimmage instead of him getting in the backfield. And I value that in running backs because the NFL is a passing league, and if your running backs can't do that stuff, it can really hurt you.
Right, and just listening to you describe that, it almost sounds like Le'Veon Bell, where he doesn't do anything physically that just blows you away, but the way his vision and the way he reads the lanes when he's running, the way he can catch passes out of the backfield, the way he can pick up blocks, you know, that's the type of running back where you can get a lot of value by not taking him really high if he falls down.
Yeah, I mean, Bell's a bit shiftier than either one of those guys, Geese or Sonny Michel, but Michel is more of like a one-cut runner, but he hits those cuts hard, and his vision is really, really good, and he knows when to make the cut. And I think he'd be a good complement to what the Bills have with Shady McCoy if they were to add a running back. I really do hope they add a running back of some type in this draft, and I think they will. I don't really necessarily care who it is. I just think they need a younger running back to learn the ropes this year, over the next year or two, before Shady's too old to play anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they have four of the oldest running backs in the league on their roster, so I certainly hope they look for some youth at that position. So, moving further down the list of confirmed pre-draft visits for the Bills, there's wide receiver DJ Chark of LSU. And that's a really intriguing one because, you know, he's projected to go maybe in the second, third round area, last time I saw. So, that's a guy I'd be pretty excited about to put opposite of Calvin Benjamin.
Yeah, I really like DJ Chark. I like a lot of the things that he does. I think he's actually probably one of the top three receivers in this draft. I've seen mocks with him going in the first round, actually. So it wouldn't be out of the question for him to go towards the end of the first round in the draft this year.
So where we really see the Bills confirming positions that they're looking at, it's nothing surprising. They've looked at had three linebackers come in for a pre-draft visit. That's Fred Wagner of BYU, Leighton Vander Esch of Boise State, and Roquan Smith of Georgia. And I really like all three of those guys. So this tells me the Bills are looking at adding, you know, a middle linebacker in the late first round, maybe second round with those guys.
Yeah, so Roquan Smith's going to be a top 10 pick, probably. Leighton Vander Esch, I think, is mid to late first round, probably. And then Fred, I think his name's actually Fred Warner. I think that's a spelled wrong there. But Fred Warner is probably a late day two type of guy, so maybe third to fourth round player. He fits more as an outside linebacker in Sean McDermott's scheme. I've actually gotten to watch him a little bit, and he is really quick, like really, really quick. And he could probably actually play safety in the NFL as well as outside linebacker.
All right, so now the Bills have looked or had five corners come in for pre-draft visits, and there's some pretty big names on here. We have Denzel Ward of Ohio State, Dante Jackson, LSU, Josh Jackson, Iowa, Jair Alexander of Louisville, and Duke Dawson of Florida. Those are five guys that are all held in pretty high regard by most so-called draft experts. So, I don't know, that almost tells me that if the Bills do stay put at 12 and maybe Mason Rudolph's their guy, they take him at 22, maybe they're looking at adding one of these, you know, premier corners at 12.
Yeah, I think Josh Jackson is a someone to think about as a target for the Bills if they stay at 22. I think he fits a lot of the things the Bills like. He profiles as more of a zone corner in the NFL, and has very, very good anticipation. He's not the greatest tackler in the world, which is one thing McDermott values tackling. ability, but he's a crazy good athlete, just not very fast. But that's how he profiles as a zone corner. I could see the Bills taking him at 22.
All right, so there's also defensive tackle RJ McIntosh of Miami on here, and the defensive end from USC, I'm Uchenna Nwosu. Did I get that right, Nate?
Yeah, I think you got that right. Yes.
So, I mean, that definitely seems like, you know, mid round pick area with those two guys, possibly if they're there. I mean, the Bills have plenty of defensive end depth now. They do need defensive tackle depth, so I wouldn't be surprised if they add a guy like RJ McIntosh, maybe round 4 or 5. I'm not sure exactly.
He's a day 3 pick probably. He actually fits. I think he fits pretty well in Buffalo's defensive system. He's a little bit smaller. He's just under 300 pounds, but he's super quick off the line. He gets in the backfield really well. He kind of does similar things to what Kyle Williams does, but he's just a little bit smaller. And if they did draft him, he'd probably start backing up as a backup for Kyle Williams. But he would get time as a rookie for sure.
All right. So that pretty much concludes the list of pre-draft visits for the Bills that we know of right now. I assume those will probably wrap up this week, so we might not hear any more confirmations of who's in the building. But I don't think that gives us any definitive idea of what the Bills are looking to do. I think they're just trying to cover all of their bases there, all the different scenarios, if they can't move up, if they can move up. There's a lot going on there, and this is one of the most unpredictable drafts that we have in recent memory.
Yeah, like we always say, we don't really know anything. The only people that know anything are the people inside the building, right? And we're not inside the building, so we really don't know what the Bills are thinking or what they really want to do. We can just kind of take our best guess and kind of put ourselves in their shoes and see what would the Bills do here.
That was a beautiful segue into Mock Draft 5, Nate. So let's have some fun with this mock draft on firstpick.com again. And we're going to go through 4 rounds this time. Nate, this time, I think let's just let this unfold in real time, and we'll see what we want to do. You know, we'll assume that we can't get up to number one to the Browns pick and see what they do, and that can kind of guide our decision-making as we move forward through the picks.
Let's do it.
Sam Darnold. Just as, you know, we've been expecting, we think it's Darnold or Allen probably at one. How does this impact what we want to do here, Nate? Darnold off the board at one, the Giants might be looking to trade down here.
They might, or it's either going to be trade down probably or Saquon Barkley, because from everything we know, Darnold is the quarterback they want, and if they don't get him, they're not going to go quarterback. So knowing that there's two quarterbacks that we really would want, right? They're not going to take either one of them. It's the Jets and Denver we have to worry about here.
So I'm seeing 4 as a landing spot for us here with Cleveland. I'm not worried about both Rosen and Mayfield being off the board for us at 4. So I'm pretty comfortable if Darnold goes first to just sit tight.
Yep, I completely agree.
All right, so the Giants take Bradley Chubb, the best defensive player available probably.
Yep, so that's not unreasonable whatsoever.
All right, so let's see who the Jets take. I'm guessing it's going to be Allen, Rosen, or Mayfield here. Josh Allen. Okay, so this really complicates things here, Nate, because we have our pick of the litter of our top two quarterbacks here if we move up to 4. Or, you know, Cleveland's not going to take a quarterback unless someone trades up with them here. So do we roll the dice and hope that one of them falls to 12, or maybe we can move up with Indy at 6 if we have to?
Yeah, so I think we wait and see, and if one of them goes off the board, we want to try and go up and get the other one with the next pick before someone else does the same thing.
Right, and this is a rare draft where, you know, there's 2 or 3 quarterbacks that we think are really, really good, and we're happy with either of them. It's not like there's just one premier prospect. So let's see what the Browns do here. And they take Saquon Barkley.
Which is expected, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Darnold, Barkley, that's what a lot of people have happening there. And now Denver's on the clock, and No, I think we're going to have a quarterback that we really like fall to us at 12 unless someone kind of leapfrogs us. So let's see
what Denver does here then.
Quentin Nelson. All right.
Okay, so this is a scenario where Denver says, okay, we have Case Keenum. We like Case Keenum. We're going to pick the best player available on our board at this spot and not go for a quarterback here. This shows you that in this scenario, you know, Denver probably didn't love any of the guys left enough to take them over the best player on their board.
So, Nate, are you getting antsy at all? Do you want to move up? Or are we happy? You know, this is like our best case scenario where Rosen and Mayfield are still on the board.
Yeah, this is a best case scenario. We can still just wait it out until they get picked. Or one of them gets picked, I mean.
Right. And remember, we're just doing this as if we're the Bills GM. We're not trying to predict what the Bills are going to do. This is just what Nate and I really like. So we'll see what the Colts do here at 6. They take Marcus Davenport.
Okay, so they stayed. No one tried to get up with them at 6 here. I think we're still sitting pretty with our quarterback situation. We just keep kind of letting this roll.
Yeah, so pick 7 through 11 right in front of us is the Buccaneers, Bears, 49ers, Raiders, Dolphins. The only team that makes me a little anxious in that area is Miami. But, you know, unless the Chargers or Saints or someone like or the Patriots want to move up for a quarterback here, I'm not that nervous because they're going to have to give up a ton of picks to get up this far.
Yeah, we're fine still with our 12, and now we can get up easily. If we have to move a couple picks to do that, we can do that pretty easily.
So Tampa looks like they're continuing with drafting best player available. They take Minka Fitzpatrick at 7. So we're still sitting pretty here with Chicago on the clock at 8. They take Tremaine Edmonds.
So now I'm expecting Roquan Smith to go right here with the 49ers. I think he fits really well with the 49ers.
Just about every mock draft we've done here on firstpick.com has been Roquan Smith at 9. And if I'm the 49ers, I'm really happy about that. And there he goes again at number 9. So now we have 2 picks to go. Unless something catastrophic happens where Rosen and Mayfield somehow go in the next 2 picks with the Raiders and Dolphins on the clock, we're looking really good.
Yeah, I think we're safe at this point, and we're going to be able to get one of the guys. You see, now we're safe here. The Dolphins, we might have our pick of both of them at 12.
Which is absolute dream scenario for the Bills if the only 2 quarterbacks off the board at 12 are Darnold and Allen, who are the 2 guys that we have ranked lowest out of the 6. The Dolphins take Will Hernandez. So here we are sitting at pick 12 with Rosen and Mayfield both on the board.
So here's the thing I'm looking at here. Washington is offering us to move back 1 pick and get an extra second rounder. I think in this scenario for the Bills, we do this because they're not going to pick a quarterback, right?
And even if they do, it makes our decision easier because we don't have to pick between Rosen and Mayfield.
Yeah, so I think we take this trade here.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure this would happen on draft day unless Washington's really scared about the Bills moving back, but I mean, it's hard to say no to another second round pick to move back 1 spot when we have nothing to lose here.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll accept it. So we just traded the Redskins number 12 for number 13 and their 12th pick in the second round. So we'll see what the Redskins do with that pick. They take Daron Payne. So that was really dumb because they would have got him anyways at 13.
So now our trade offers now are not that good. We have to move back either 20 with Detroit or 24 for Carolina. So we're going to pick our quarterback now.
So if you've listened to previous pods, we have a consensus ranking that Rosen is just ahead of Baker Mayfield for us. So Nate, I'm guessing we're going Josh Rosen here?
Josh Rosen is our man. Josh Rosen in this scenario is the next franchise quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. Well, hopefully the next franchise quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
At 13th overall.
And we get an A-plus from first pick for that. That's for obvious reasons. Because if he's there at 13 and that happens, draft analysts would be loving that pick for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened. But I don't see Josh Rosen falling all the way to pick 13 on draft day. I mean, but no one knows anything, so it's possible.
So let's see what we get here between now and our next pick. I think we're comfortable skipping 5 here.
Yeah. So firstpick.com lets you skip 5 picks at a time if you don't want to go through each individual one. So Green Bay takes Jair Alexander at 14. Arizona takes Lamar Jackson at 15. Calvin Ridley 16 to Baltimore. The Chargers take Vita Vea at 17. Seattle gets Derwin James all the way at 18. That's a really good pick. That's great value.
So Baker Mayfield's still on the board here. At the Cowboys at 19. This is a very interesting New England Patriots in this scenario could get Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it's crazy because right now they have the Cowboys, Lions, Bengals, and us between them. So nobody's taking quarterback unless, you know, they get leapfrogged. So I guess let's skip to our pick and see who's on the board. So Leighton Vander Esch goes to the Cowboys, Taven Bryan to the Lions, and Rashawn Evans to the Bengals. So here we are at 22 with a lot of good players on the board, Nate.
Yeah, so we have to think about, you know, positions that the Bills really need. Linebacker is one of them. Defensive tackle is another one that is important. Corner, probably. Wide receiver. And offensive line, but I think this is not a spot in the draft where we're going to be picking an offensive lineman necessarily. Let's see what first pick says is the best value remaining.
So I think Mike McGlinchey's on the board, Nate. McGlinchey is on the board. And we also have Josh Jackson. This is tough.
There are a lot of really good options for us right now. On the board, even Mike Hughes as well is still on the board, and he's another guy that I can see the Bills taking at this spot, the corner from UCF.
Nate, I think there's a lot of depth at corner, and because we picked up Washington's pick at 44 overall or 45 overall, I'm pretty comfortable taking Mike McGlinchey here just to shore up that right tackle spot because it's just been a nightmare.
I agree, especially given that with Richie gone, there's just another offensive line spot open, and this is a strong way to fill that right tackle position.
Right, so this really anchors down both tackle spots, and then we can fill in the guard and center positions over the next couple of years. So we have Rosen and McGlinchey that, without making any trades up the board. We made a trade down the board. This is a dream draft day scenario. So I guess let's just move forward 5 picks at a time and see how long Baker Mayfield slides down.
This is a spot where I do think if this scenario were to happen and the Patriots sitting here at 23, they're probably going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, they took Harold Landry from Boston College. Panthers took DJ Moore. The Titans took James Daniels. New England moved up to 26, it looks like, again, to take James Washington. And then the Saints took Sam Hubbard. That's an interesting sequence.
No, Jacksonville's a team here. I could see Jacksonville taking a quarterback here.
Pittsburgh,
too.
It
would not surprise me. Yeah, Pittsburgh as well. So it'll be interesting to see here.
So the draft order, just because this is a audio medium, right now we're at pick 28. It's Steelers, Jaguars, Vikings, Falcons, Eagles to close out the first round. So let's see what happens there. All right, so Micah Kizer goes to the Steelers. The Giants come back up to pick 29 to take Baker Mayfield.
I think that's a dream draft for the Giants, in all honesty. If you can get Baker Mayfield at 29 as the Giants, you are about as happy as you can possibly be.
And then the Vikings have to be ecstatic that they get Josh Jackson at 30.
A lot of teams, I think, in this scenario are going to be very, very happy with how it unfolded. I think there's a better chance of more teams being happy if there's not a run on quarterbacks early versus if there is.
Yeah, and this is kind of an interesting scenario where there wasn't really a huge run on quarterbacks, and there's still, it just shows you the depth of what we think are elite players in this year's draft. So Maurice Hurst goes at 31 and Connor Williams at 32. So I guess let's just keep moving forward unless you want to move up for someone here before
there's
our
no
pick
one
it.
There's no one on the board right now that I think I would want to move up for.
So for the listeners, we have 3 picks in the second round here. Thanks to our trade with Washington, we have pick 12, pick 21, and pick 24. So I guess let's just plug some holes.
We have a lot of holes to fill, so I think it's important that we use all of these picks well.
All right.
Pick the best player on our board for those.
Right. So we won't list off every pick now that we're out of the first round. We'll move forward to our pick at 12. Mason Rudolph just won at pick 8 in the second round to Denver. So that's really good value for them, considering how Nate and I really like Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I think Mason Rudolph's going to be a really, really good player in the NFL. And I would be thrilled if the Bills picked him. That would be something I'd be perfectly happy with.
All right, Nate. So here we are at pick 12 in the second round. There's still a ton of value left on the board.
Yeah, so one thing I think would be an interesting thing for the Bills to do here would be to pick Billy Price from Ohio State and plug another offensive line hole, given how many they have.
Yeah, I mean, that firstpick.com has him and Ronnie Harrison as first-round talents, and they're still on the board. You know, we don't really need Ronnie Harrison. So I'm inclined to believe that Billy Price is the best player on the board here. So given that we have two more picks in the second round, I'm fine with plugging that offensive line even more, because we can probably get a wide receiver here in 10 picks.
Let's do it. Let's go Billy Price. Now we have plugged two big holes on the Bills offensive line in our first three picks of the draft.
And we've made it a lot easier for Josh Rosen to start the first week of the season by adding two premier, well, what we expect to be premier offensive linemen.
And that's like what we talked about before. It's risky to get a rookie and put him in there day one with an offensive line that's kind of patchwork. And this is going to give the Bills management and the coaching staff more confidence if they want to play Josh Rosen early in the season, knowing they have a stronger offensive line to put him behind.
All right, so here we are at pick 21 in the second round. It's number 53 overall. The Bills actually hold this pick. Our last pick at number 12 in the second round was from a trade we made during this. And there's some decent talent here. No one that really strikes my eye as someone I have to have. I mean, you have your pick of wide receivers here, Nate. Cortland Sutton's still on the board. DJ Chark's on the board.
Is one guy that I think wide receiver is a position we want to maybe target here, because think about where are the biggest holes the Bills have left? Linebacker?
So, linebacker, defensive tackle, and wide receiver. Wide receiver probably being the most serious one outside of inside linebacker, but there's not an inside linebacker on the board right now.
Yeah,
unless Josie Jewell has not gone yet, but I think we can get him at 24 if he's still on the board, because we're sitting here at 21 now.
I think getting a wide receiver to help out Josh Rosen and make you're picking a rookie quarterback and you're gonna probably play him this year. You want to make him as comfortable as possible as a rookie, and what better way to do that than giving him an offensive line and a new wide receiver to work with on top of what the Bills already have at the position, which really isn't all that much.
So who do you like here, Nate? Do you like Sutton, Chark, or someone else?
I like Cortland Sutton a lot. I like, acquainted to me as St. Brown from Notre Dame a lot. DJ Moore I also like. Is he still on the board or did he get picked?
He got picked.
Yeah, so I think those three are my three guys that I would like. I would probably go Sutton, St. Brown, and then Chark third.
Okay, so I'll agree with you. We'll go Sutton here at number 53 overall. So we're putting together a nice little offense here.
Yeah, now it's just about, now we have to focus on the defensive side of the ball and fill the holes we have there with our next few picks.
All right, so there's nothing that jumps out to me at defensive tackle at the moment. If Josie Jewell is still available, I really want to go get him here, Nate. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a little hard to follow sometimes going five or multiple picks at a time. Let's see if he is he is still on the board. Let's go with Josie Jewell at this spot.
And that's a guy that's been mocked the Bills a lot there in the second round. Firstpick.com gave us a B+. I disagree with that. I think that's really good value for a guy that should be a pretty solid middle linebacker. It's definitely, I think it's an upgrade from Preston Brown.
I think over time it will be an upgrade. It would be an upgrade from Preston Brown. I'm not sure right away, given Preston Brown's the ability he had to make play calls and change plays and read the game with all the things he did for the Bills. To expect a rookie to immediately fill that, it's probably a little high expectations. But I think, yeah, over time he could certainly become a better player than Preston Brown. One thing I think is that we've done really, really well is we've picked five starters with our first five picks.
I'm really happy with how this has gone so far. This is an absolute dream scenario. I can't imagine this happening on draft day, but if it does, you've got to be pretty happy. So we'll move along. We have the Browns' first pick of the third round at 65 overall coming up in just a few picks. So, you know, presumably going to get a sixth starter. So Shaq Griffin went right after our last pick. That would have been probably the guy I'd want next. So we'll see what's available for us here. So, Nate, I think we probably want to go... I don't know. Do you want to go corner, outside linebacker, or do you just want to take the best player available?
I think we look at the positions we need to fill, and we take the best player available at one of those positions we have a need at.
Dante Jackson's on the board.
Yeah, I think that's a solid pick. There, and that's a guy we've talked about. He's an LSU corner, and Tre'Davious White has been pulling for the Bills to draft him. McDermott obviously has seen how LSU does with defensive backs. I think that's a good pick at this spot.
And he's been in for a pre-draft visit, so I mean, this makes a ton of sense. It's a really good value at 65 overall. So let's take him.
Yeah, in this scenario, we basically had four second-round picks, which is pretty cool. So.
All right, so then we have to go all the way to the 32nd pick of the third round before our next pick. So we'll kind of flash forward here and see what's available there. I'm not as familiar with the prospects down this far, so we'll just see, you know, what's available, and we'll take, you know, a guy that helps fill another hole. All right, so here I'm thinking maybe defensive tackle, Nate.
Yeah, so there are two guys that I think fit well into what the Bills want to do at defensive tackle and might be available here. I'm not sure. It's a little hard to see who's available, but Trenton Thompson from Georgia is one guy that I'm pretty high on, and I think he's another smaller, quicker tackle. He's another guy that plays under 300 pounds. And then R.J. McIntosh from Miami is another tackle that I really like and I would think would be a good pick for the Bills at this spot.
So, one question I will pose to you, Nate, is, you know, if we are drafting best player available with needs in mind, the Bills still don't have a great receiving core. Kelvin Benjamin's in the final year of his contract. Deion Kane from Clemson's still here. And so is Tre'Quan Smith from UCF. Do either of those guys intrigue you, or would you rather have R.J. McIntosh?
I think I'm more inclined to fill those holes in my defense rather than draft a second wide receiver already without making sure I have covered some of my other needs before I do that.
All right, so we know R.J. McIntosh has been in for a visit with Buffalo. You know, with one of the last picks of the third round, are you comfortable taking him here?
Absolutely. I think he's a potential second-round prospect, so I think this is good value as well.
All right, let's take him. So we've plugged yet another hole, the seventh one of the draft so far. So now we're going into the fourth round, which will be the final round of Mock Draft 5.0 for us. We'll probably do a full seven round for you guys in the last week coming up to the draft here. So we'll flash forward to the 21st pick in the fourth round. We'll see what's available, and that'll wrap up Mock Draft 5.0.
So one thing I can see the Bills doing here is maybe thinking, this is a spot in the draft you can maybe think about a running back, right?
Yep.
So let's see what running backs are available at this point in the draft.
I see Mark Walton from Miami, who I like, and Royce Freeman from Oregon as well.
I think Royce Freeman is will probably last a little bit longer in the draft. They might honestly both last a little bit longer in the draft. Are they the best prospects left at this point?
According to firstpick.com's rankings, yes. Nate, I still see Deion Kane here, the wide receiver from Clemson. And if he's still on the board at almost the end of the fourth round, I find it really hard to pass up on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of value there. And given, he has, I think for most places, either second or third round grade. So he's a good player, and you're getting him at least a round behind where most people think he's going to go. This is, I think we got a linebacker. We got two offensive linemen. We got defensive linemen. We got a corner. So I think this is a safe spot to take another wide receiver.
Yeah, especially if the Bills want some flexibility with Kelvin Benjamin. If you don't want to bring him back, then we've just taken two, development wide receivers that could both be pretty good, and Cortland Sutton and Deion Kane. So I think we should go ahead and select Deion Kane here.
Let's do it. This is he's a speedster. This is something the Bills don't really have on the roster at the moment either. So this is he fits a need at the position as well as just fitting a need in general.
All right, so we'll just do a brief recap for you guys, because I know it's tough listening to this in podcast form. You don't get to see what we're looking at. So we're able to trade down one spot from 12 to 13 and get Josh Rosen, which is Nate and I's top guy on the board probably. And then at 22, we got Mike McGlinchey to shore up that right tackle spot. Washington gifted us their 44th overall pick, or 45th overall pick. And we got Billy Price to shore up a center guard spot. So we've plugged two of those major holes on the offensive line, which is critical, especially for Josh Rosen.
Something we really liked. Something we talked about wanting to do with a rookie quarterback is making sure that if we're going to play one, that they have a strong offensive line, which is why we went tackle center with our second and third picks of the draft.
And the way this unfolded was just insane, because we were able to get Cortland Sutton at 53 to give Rosen a wide receiver. We got Josie Jewell to play middle linebacker at pick 56. And then Dante Jackson, who we both really like at corner, was there at 65, so we pretty much plugged almost all of the major holes on the team just right there.
Yeah, we did, and then we were able to go at the end of the third round, we had the last pick of the third round, and we got RJ McIntosh, a defensive tackle from Miami, to fill another need the Bills have for a third tackle to really rotate in with Kyle Williams. Excuse me. And, I'm going to have to re-say that. What the hell is his name? Are you there?
Yeah.
What's the star little lady? All right.
Oh, I didn't know what you're talking. I was just letting you talk it out.
So they have another guy to put in there to rotate with Kyle Williams and star little lady. And then in the fourth round, the 21st pick of the fourth round, we got Deion Kane, a wide receiver from Clemson, who adds a speed element to the Bills' receiving game. And we gave Josh Allen two weapons, two protectors, with four picks after him in the draft. I think this is a scenario that really, really, the Bills would be really, really thrilled with if it actually occurred like this.
Yeah, so we had eight picks here, Nate, in the first four rounds with the way things shook out with the trade with the Redskins. And if we hit on half of those guys and the other half are just okay, I mean, we're looking at having a really good team in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, if you can have eight players in the first four rounds and have four of them or five of them turn out to be starter caliber NFL players, not even necessarily Pro Bowlers. I mean, you want a couple of them to be Pro Bowl type players, but you just want them to be good NFL football players. That's a pretty good draft.
Yeah, so this isn't like a best case scenario for the Bills. I can't imagine things going down like this on draft day, but if it does, I mean, we have to be really happy. So that wraps up Mock Draft 5.0. We covered some of the Richie Incognito saga and gave you guys some other news on the draft. I think that pretty much wraps up episode 11 for us, Nate. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it does. So next time we get on the pod here, send us some things if you guys on Twitter or on Facebook page, on Twitter @Bills_Breakdown, Facebook @BillsBreakdown, things that you might want us to talk about, some topics we want to talk about. So as always, we'll discuss any Bills news in the last week, and we'll get into another mock draft probably in the next pod.
All right, and that'll probably be our last mock draft unless the Bills do some sort of trading up here. So we'll keep you guys posted. We'll probably have episode 12 ready for you guys next weekend to get you ready for the draft, unless there's some sort of big news. So that brings us to an end of episode 11. Episode 11? Yeah,
episode 11
of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber. Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast so others can give it a listen. And like I mentioned before, hit us on Twitter @Bills_Breakdown, on Facebook @BillsBreakdown with any feedback, suggestions for topics for next time or anything like that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time.